Summer is definitely the sexiest season. I mean, think about it. The days are longer, the nights are hotter, and your sex life is too. And if you're looking to turn up the heat, how about a little help from our friends at Promescent? Summer is all about things hot and steamy, so I highly recommend you add something extra and tap into Promescent's lineup of pleasure-enhancing products. I've been singing their praises for years, since they started, and for good reason. Because first up, we have the legendary Delay Spray. This is the MVP of lasting longer and keeping those eager penile nerves in check. You just do a quick spray, and you're set to outlast even the longest days of summer, ensuring the party doesn't end before you want it to. So you can have the mind-blowing climax you're now so very well equipped to reach, thanks to Promescent. It just helps you last longer without all the worry. And for women, Promescent's warming arousal gel is a fun pre-sex ritual. You just rub it into your vulva a few minutes before and you'll feel it start to tingle, warming up every nerve ending. So you'll feel that much more pleasure everywhere before you even get going. So it's kind of like the sure thing. So make sure this summer is the sexiest one yet. Check out promescent.com/Emily and get 15% off at checkout. You get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, discreet shipping, all the things. Promescent is your ticket to a more guaranteed good time. That's promescent.com/Emily. promescent.com/Emily for your exclusive discount. Check it out. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, my good friend and fellow podcaster Lynette Carolla and I are helping you navigate your sex, relationship, and everything in between questions. Topics include your pubic service announcement, how do you really like your hair down there, getting out of the tech zone into the date zone, strategies for dating as a strong, accomplished woman, and the clitoral GPS. We show you the way around your favorite love button. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, it feels so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to my website. Check out my incredible blogs. I am so digging my blogs these days. Okay, there's one right now this week I love. It's called, it's a pubic service announcement, or a PSA, if you will. And it's all about pubic hair through the ages. I mean, don't you want to know what's happening? Fall fashion's underway.
Yes.
What's happening in September issue of Vogue? What's happening with your pubic hair? Lynette Carolla is my guest.
Yeah. No, you don't have to introduce me right now, but
yes,
I
do.
Agree.
But
I
dude,
get your
carpet
emails.
Change, bikinis and razors, embracing the bush, back to bare. The 90s was waxed versus Harry and Proud, and then there was the Brazilian debut. Mm-hmm. And now I think people are doing what they want. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Lynette? Do you
I
know?
Agree.
Yeah.
Can we get into
just go.
It right
Let's
now?
Let's get into it. Yeah.
Okay. So I have not been waxed until, like, when I first met Adam, my husband, back in 95. There's a place called Pink Cheeks that just kind of opened
Pink,
in the valley.
Pink Cheeks?
Pink Cheeks.
Okay.
In Van Nuys. And they were known at the time for Pam Anderson made it famous with the whole, like, Playboy thing. Okay. So back then I did it and it hurt like a bitch and I was like, fuck that shit. Like, right. What do I don't have to impress this guy anymore. Right. I'm getting married. Who cares?
Right.
Now fast forward 20 years. We went on a honeymoon kind of like whatever trip and I was like, you know what? I'm going to get it. All right. I'm going to get waxed. Who cares? So then I got waxed. I got the whole Brazilian thing and I thought, wow, it hurts. But then I thought, this is kind of nice.
Right.
It feels good and it'll last for a long time.
It
like
does.
It's smooth and
so
everything.
Smooth.
And now I understand what all you bitches are talking about. So then I went back again a couple weeks ago and she's like, do you want a Brazilian? And I was like, I don't know. What's a Brazilian? And she's like, the whole thing? And,
yeah,
and then it's like embarrassing. Like, yeah, okay, yeah, the whole thing.
Right.
Why? I wouldn't be here if I didn't want the whole thing.
Right.
Then she's describing what I want as far as like the...
The triangle, the landing strip? The,
yeah, what?
You like, just take
just
it
give
off.
Me, but
right now?
I don't want it all. No, Adam would be horrified.
Oh, okay.
Like, he'd
so
be
these
like,
are all the different designs you could have.
Oh, that Is that where you
I
go?
I guess so. Well, you can go to like a zigzag.
In the lobby. A zigzag?
I don't know. I'm looking at these pictures on the... You know, it's a personal choice right now. I think it always should be a personal choice.
You
so what'd
be.
You choose?
So I just, well, I said, lady, listen, just keep some stuff there. I don't want to be like a 12-year-old.
Right.
But don't make me look like Hitler either. That's weird, right? The Hitler thing is that like the little thing.
The Hitler mustache.
It's
weird. I know. I did. It is weird.
I'm not judging. Who am I to judge? But right. I just a little like,
right.
I like a little triangle or
a little
something.
Triangle, yeah,
just
exactly.
Something to show that I am above age. Right. That's all.
But
that's
it's
all
legal. I get it. So you go back and get the.
Yeah. And then I go
every
and then
6 weeks.
Back. Every 6 weeks. Well, listen, I'm married. What do I care?
Right.
But if we're going on a vacation or something, or it's our anniversary or birthday or somebody or Christmas. Then I'll do it. But yeah.
It's a whole thing. I got lasered.
Yes, me too.
But here was the thing. It was like 10 years ago. But I was like, I don't want them to take everything off. Like, do you want it all off? I'm like, no. What if the bush comes back? What if I want the triangle? What if I want a zigzag? You know, who knows? What if I want a star?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I want.
Mm-hmm.
So I have most of it gone. But then now it's just in a weird formation that I feel like I still have to half wax it, but then I just don't. So then I shave it all off, which is probably too much.
You shave it all off?
Well, just because there's still just like a little
well,
left.
You're
I'm
single.
So busy.
Yeah.
I'm single.
I know. You're busy, single. I would too.
But
I
here's the problem is that half of it's really smooth. I've never talked about this out loud. So this is, you're getting shit out of me. Is that I get stubble now because it's like stubbly.
Yeah.
So then I'm on top. I'm doing something. I'm grinding in the coil alignment technique. And it's like, I have stubble.
That's
so
what I had. I'm like, it's hurting.
So now it's like, yeah. But even if I go back and get the Brazilian, that would still come back and be stubbly. So
right.
I don't know what to do. And I actually don't want to look like a prepubescent.
Right.
I can never say that
but
word.
What do you do about the stubble thing?
Child.
What do you do?
I think it's better to leave a little bit of hair.
Yes.
And then the other parts, if you leave it in between your legs, like it's not as stubbly maybe because I don't know. This is a new thing. I don't think this was an issue before.
I don't think it was
God
an issue.
God damn it.
You think my parents had this issue?
No.
My mother did not.
They didn't.
No.
Here's the thing, guys. It's a choice. And if I think, I know a lot of women today who are just letting it go crazy, like the bush. It's all back. And I feel like I'm better off letting mine grow out. And that's actually what I've done. This whole shaving it off was like, I think I was going to Hawaii and I was in a hurry. And I was like, I don't have time. And that's when this started. It's very recent. So I think I was better with the kind of oblong shaved tuft than I was with the prickly stubble.
Yes.
So everyone,
business
just do
in the
you.
Front,
do you.
Party in the back. Yeah.
Okay. So Lynette Carolla. Is awesome.
Thank you.
And she's a podcast called For Crying Out Loud.
Mm-hmm.
And also a podcast for the after show.
Sword and Scale Rewind. It's an after show. If you guys like true crime, you can listen to Sword and Scale episode, whatever episode you listen to. Then you listen to our show.
You guys must be hilarious on that.
We're
well, I know
so
it's a serious
it.
Show, but you're so funny. Like, I just feel like it would be entertaining.
Because we're into it.
Because I listen to your podcast, but I don't watch the same Sword and Scale.
Yeah. It's like if we did an after show on your show. Like, we'd be like,
oh my God,
Emily's show was so good. Did you hear her talk about her bush and that the waxing?
Oh my God,
and the
we
zigzag.
Should do an after show. Who
then,
wants to do any of my listeners say, want to do a post game show?
There you go.
Email me feedback@sexwithemily.com or tweet me @sexwithemily or snap me.
Yeah.
It's all @sexwithemily. That's not a bad idea.
Not a bad idea. It's a great idea.
It's a great idea. And I just revealed something, like, for example, about my bush. Which was a big moment. Okay, you guys, I have no secrets from you. No. Also, the other thing I want to mention about is that I have a subscription box. Do you do any monthly boxes?
I like the monthly subscription stuff. Yeah.
So this is quarterly, and it's Emily's box.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Like I should show it to you. It's from Unbound Box. You can click on the link on my website.
Unbound.
Yeah. It's sexwithemily.com/subscription box. And here's why it's amazing. Because 4 times a year, you're going to get a box, whether you're single or in a relationship. Especially if you're in a relationship, it's like a little spiciness coming in the mail. And you're like, oh, how can we make things interesting? What do we do? Well, guess what? There's a box coming. And it's going to have this one. I love this one. It's called Better Than Basic. It's got a few of my favorite toys in it. It's got like this nipple gel you put on your nipples. It makes your nipples tingle and taste like chocolate. It's got condoms. It's got just, you guys, check on the link on my website.
Lube.
It's got, of course, dude.
Yeah.
Lube. And these boxes are so plentiful that I opened it. Even though I curated the box, I freaked out when it arrived. So I think it's a great gift. If you have someone getting a friend getting married or bachelorette or just birthday or if you're in a relationship. And then every relationship, you're like, babe, look what's here. And then you open it together and there's like foreplay in a box. How fun is that? Sex in a box.
Yes.
So check that out. And that's what we got for you. Oh, and all social media, it's at Sex with Emily. We took some amazing, we are taking some fun clips of the show today because we're having a blast. So you're going to check all that out. And Lynette, I didn't prepare you for this part.
Okay.
Before we get into emails and talking, I've got five questions for you that I ask all my guests. They're quickie questions. Ready?
Sure.
What's your biggest turn on?
You know what? You want physical or mental?
Anything.
This is what I was going to ask you about. All right. So here's my chance to ask you. For some reason, so a couple of years ago, I went for a massage and the girl did a massage. She goes, would you like a tummy massage? And I was like, never had it before, but okay. And then she did a stomach massage, and then she's telling me as she does the clockwork orange, no, the clock, the counterclockwise on your stomach in a circle is good for digestive. But all I kept thinking was, oh my God,
it was turning you on. It was like pubic, it was a little lower than your stomach. It was more like your pubic mound.
Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah.
Why? Hot. How? Why?
Why did it really turn you on?
So then I told Adam, like my husband, to when he was giving, you know, like a massage.
Nice.
I said, can you do it like counterclockwise? Go either way. I don't care. But when with the lower belly massage,
yeah.
Why is that pressure on the lower belly?
The pubic mound.
Such a turn
on. That's a really great question.
Yeah.
It's because here's the thing is that there are so many nerve endings right there. And it's also like, this whole area. So I think a lot of us, if we're lucky, we know your partners or women, you know that you have a clitoris. And we think about this clitoris being this little button, right? That's above the vaginal opening that has like, you know, 8,000 nerve endings. And it's amazing. But it's not just that little bulb. It's actually the clitoris has legs and there's just the
legs. Connected.
It's connected. But when you also the pubic mound can also indirectly stimulate your G-spot. So there's just a lot going on there. So when you're pressing on this area, you're tickling over it. You're actually tickling these nerves beneath it. Look, I'm showing you right here.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like, so she was like here.
Right.
And tickling like around. She would maybe her fingers were like swiping against your like clitoris.
Like,
it's
do
because
it again.
All of that is connected. And I love that you're asking this question because I think that a lot of people don't really even understand that sex and foreplay and turning your partner on isn't just about like, oh, I know like where the, I know the clitoris, so I'm going to finger it. No, it's the entire like your inner thighs, your pubic mound, your lower belly, like, and it's that light touch, right? Going in circles. And then even sometimes you put your palm down and you apply pressure. You
can
even
have an
orgasm that way. It's a turn on, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was like the tickling and it was teasing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was building your arousal. And that's because it was just stimulating all these nerves.
It's stimulating the nerve endings underneath
Exactly.
Underneath the belly.
Right.
Where the G-spot is.
Right.
The one that Adam can't get. I mean, the one that can't get to.
Right. But I think this would be good. For example, for women, some women, and there are people who might even argue and say, it's not the G-spot. There's other ways to have orgasm. It could be a cervical. It doesn't really matter how you label it or what it is or what you want to call it. It's the fact that you got turned on and you felt something there. Because some women would be like, I did the counterclockwise circle and I felt nothing.
Right.
The key to the game here, the name of the game is experimentation and tickling and touching your body and figuring out what makes you feel good. Because every single person's body is different. And so you're a woman who's been with a lot of different people and it took a masseuse a few years ago and you're like, oh my God, I had no idea that would turn me on.
Mm-hmm.
And that punctuates the exact point that I'm always trying to make on the show is that sex is expansive. What turns us on could change over time. We're always discovering new things. And I love that you found that out. So I feel like you don't have to wait to get a massage to feel like when you masturbate or when you're with your partner, you say, you know what? Let's take sex off the table. Let's just explore each other's bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get some massage candles. I love massage. Let's get some massage oil and let's take each other's hands and rub them over each other's body and just like figure out your pleasure points because we all have different areas that feel good. Like for me, when I want to have an orgasm, here's the other thing for the after show I don't often talk about is that if I'm with somebody and they're like going down on me, for example, or they're whatever, I press, it's not really the lower belly, it's more like my pubic mound. Like, mm-hmm. I push on here, mm-hmm. and that will like intensify my orgasm. I didn't realize that like when I was 20.
Right.
But that took me a while.
Right.
So.
I always like that belly, lower belly yeah. pressure.
I feel like and we I can didn't show know
what
Adam
was
this.
Going, come on, what was going on?
Yeah.
Okay.
A pressure, that's what it is. Okay. It's common, but I think again, it's like indirectly stimulating your
okay.
G-spot, your
yeah.
clitoris, like whatever. Yeah, because here's the other thing. When you're pressing that area, you press, but you go down. So if I'm pressing it and I push it down, it's also like the clitoris, the outer, the inner, the
right.
labia, all that stuff.
Right.
It's a good time.
Okay. It's a good time, yeah.
So biggest turn on, that's your answer. Biggest turn off.
Where do I begin? Biggest turn off? Like grabbing the head.
Push.
I like to give a blowjob.
Don't push my head.
Don't push the
head. I was
head.
Already on the way, and guess what? I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Don't push my head.
I know. Adam doesn't do that, but I have friends that have gone on dates, and they do that. They tell me that they do that, and it's like, I'm like,
it's the worst.
No.
Thought like I'd be banned that like on the last ballot initiative or something. Like,
yeah,
I
didn't you think should. Really
do it. I know.
Yeah, you should.
And faking orgasms. Mm-hmm. Okay, what's the sexiest part of a man's body?
Oh, my goodness. I like a chest. The chest of
good
a man.
Chest. Mm-hmm. What's the one thing you wish you could tell your partner about your body's needs?
I would say don't give up. Just keep
going.
Trying for the G-spot. Because I haven't really had a G-spot orgasm.
Oh, we've talked about this two years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't had that.
We've got more work.
Yeah.
Craziest place you've gotten busy?
In my bedroom when I was a teenager at home.
And your parents were there?
No, my mom came home.
She yeah. caught you?
Yeah.
What happened?
She said, because she's an Italian immigrant, she said, Lynette, listen, in the end, he's going to win, you're going to lose. So don't get busy in your room and don't tell your father I saw what I saw. That was it.
The best story ever.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a good time. I love this. I love you. It's a great show.
Oh my God. It's so much.
We're just getting started.
It. Yeah.
Your mom said that.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. In the end, he's going to win and I'm going to lose.
Did you lose? You didn't lose. Mm. You're a winner.
No,
you're
winning. I'm a winner. I'm winning.
Okay. So you said you came armed with questions for me.
Yeah.
And I'm here for you.
Yes. Oh God. All right. So the lower belly, mm-hmm. the how to have a...
Oh, G-spot.
G-spot.
So last time I saw you, or not saw you, but when I first brought you vibrators, I think I gave you a G-spot one. But here's the thing about the G-spot. So tip to find the G-spot, one of the best ways to start is if you're already turned on
mm-hmm.
and if you already have a clitoral orgasm, for example. So
yeah.
you have toys. I'll give you, I gave you a little preview for what's to come in the sex toy closet.
Right.
I'm going to tell you just for yourself because then you could bring Adam in. Mm-hmm. You can not.
Okay.
And when you're aroused, it helps to, the whole area, the G-spot becomes more engorged, which is about 2 inches inside. You stick like a finger inside and it's like the come hither motion towards your belly button. And
right.
you can feel like a rough patch, kind of like an apricot
yes.
or something.
Yes.
It feels different ways. And then you apply like direct pressure to it. And through that motion, you can oftentimes have a G-spot orgasm. However,
yeah,
there's different positions. Like the thing is, for some women, here's one thing I want to say. A lot mm-hmm. of it has to do with anatomy and the way you are built.
Mm-hmm.
For some women, they've got clitorises on the outside without a clitoral hood and they can just have orgasms like when they sneeze. And for some women, like every time they have sex, they have a G-spot orgasm. Like it's truly, like for women, some women, all bodies are different.
Right.
All of our bodies are different. It just means that maybe once you find it, for example, Lynette, then you can move a certain way
mm-hmm.
with Adam, even though you've been having sex with him for 20 some odd years.
Mm-hmm.
If you on your own find it, you'd be like, oh, now I know. So using fingers is helpful. There's also some great toys that don't malfunction in your vagina that I can give you. I would say the WeVibe Rave or Nova. The Rave is the best G-spot toy out there.
So do you suggest you get the clitoral like excited
yes,
first
that
and
helps.
Then you try and get the
and then you can have a blend. Yeah, I would say just knock out a clitoral orgasm because those are, they're fun. You're aroused. Use a vibrator. Use your fingers.
I'm going to do this first on my own first.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. And then use lube, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's easier with some of these toys, especially the Rave, which I love by WeVibe. It's just the way it's shaped, the way it works. I mean, you can use it with an app as well. You might want to use it with an app. It's cool because you can on your phone. You don't have to be down there like using the different speeds and pressures and all that. And
yeah, there's just nothing worse when you're about to orgasm and you turn the shit off.
Oh, yeah. It's the worst.
Like, the thing stops. The worst. Oh, when it's dies.
That's the worst sex I've ever had. That's my biggest turnoff is when a toy turns off.
Oh, my God.
And also, the other thing that's really helped me, now I've had sex. Mm-hmm. Plenty of sex.
What?
I never had a G-spot orgasm ever until I started the show 12 years ago. So I never even had one like in my 20s because I didn't know how. So I had to work at it. And I realized for me, the big thing was doing my Kegels. Mm-hmm. That when those muscles became stronger, because those are the muscles that you like kind of pump.
Yeah, I know.
You're about to orgasm. Mm-hmm. And so for me, when those were stronger, it was like walking around with like dead. I'd be doing my abs all month or something. It was like when you want to wear like a crop top when you're heavy. Mm-hmm. It was that kind of thing. It was like, oh my God, I'm all my muscles are turned on. And I was like thinking about sex more and wanting sex more. And then a combination of that and using the toy, I was able to have my first G-spot orgasm. And then blended, when you can have both, mm-hmm. when you like have it clitoral, have a, you know. I didn't want to get greedy, but I was having blended.
Yeah.
And then I was able to, during intercourse, by squeezing on his penis, like squeezing my Kegels. That's
right.
What helped me.
Oh, squeezing. So when you first had your internal orgasm, yes. Was that on your own?
That was my own. There was nobody there. It was not a party. That was alone. It was a party in
then
my
you
pants,
had a party.
And I was the only one there.
Really? Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. Okay.
Oh, see, another thing for the after show. Will you do my after show? Yeah, but you were here, so we need someone else to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it. And I learned so much. I mean, that's when I started the podcast, I was like, I have a hunch that sex could be a whole lot better than
yeah,
this.
You're right.
And
thank
I was like,
you.
This seems like something worthwhile to study for the rest of my life.
Yes. Yeah, you're right.
And I don't think I'm done. Like, I still don't think I've had the best sex ever.
Yeah.
I want to keep going. Okay, Lynette, that was a great question about G-spots because I get asked that a lot. And yeah. I love that we can like actually have that real conversation right here.
I know.
And it's a good one.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. Okay, so we're going to move on to emails. You're going to help me even calls.
Yeah.
And you're going to help me help the people. I love that. I love that you're here.
I love it.
And thank you everyone for listening to the show and for supporting my sponsors because they help keep the show free. And when you support them, you're supporting the show. And I just love you. We'll be right back. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread, so here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's a kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Okay, Lynette, are you ready for the calls and the emails?
Yes.
If you have a question you want me to answer on the show, that's amazing. You can text Ask Emily, all one word, to 797979. That's Ask Emily. So what happens is when you text that, you get this a link right away. And that link, you just open it up and you ask away. Ask your question. You can also go to sexwithemily.com via the Ask Emily tab. And as always, include information that helps me, your gender, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show.
79779.
Yeah.
Not 6969.
I know. I think it was already taken. Such a buzzkill, right?
I know.
Like, if anybody should have the 69s.
Yeah. Hello. Somebody should.
Cubed?
Yes.
Me.
Cubed.
Who the hell took that?
I know.
I don't want to get into that now. Okay. We've got Kat. She's 26 from Los Angeles, and she wants to know about positions to maximize sensation, even when she's really wet during sex. Hi, Kat.
Hi, Emily.
Hi. I'm here with my friend Lynette Carolla. So you've got two women here helping you.
Hi, Kat. Why don't you just brag more often? Okay. You want to get more positions get when you're wet?
No, like, some of us can't get wet. Some I'm do.
Yes.
Kat, what's going on? Talk to us.
So basically, the problem that I'm having is that no matter what, like no foreplay, nothing, it doesn't really matter what happens beforehand. Every time I have sex, I'm always incredibly wet.
Okay.
Like dripping everywhere wet.
All right.
And sometimes it makes it so that I can't really feel much of any of the stuff that's happening.
Right, right. No, I've heard this from women. Absolutely. I totally get it. Yeah. And what have you tried so far? Have you tried anything?
So I've tried just like doing different positions or basically that's it.
Okay. Well, first, let me tell you a little bit about the wetness. So like the vaginal lubrication comes through the vaginal walls. And typically with younger women, if you have higher estrogen levels, that can lead to more lubrication. And that is common with younger women, just like women going through menopause have lower estrogen and they're not as wet. That's what happens.
I'm sorry, Kat. Let me ask my pal Emily a question here. From what I see a lot of times, and I remember back in my single days, guys would like shove their hand down your pants and go, oh, you're so wet,
right?
Even though they're not very turned on.
Right. Guys do say that. And the thing about wetness, or men, or women, your partners, it changes different times of month as well. Even for you, I don't know if you've noticed, Kat, that maybe sometimes it's really wet and other times it's kind of wet. Throughout our cycle, our body changes throughout the month. And so sometimes we're really wet and sometimes just a little less wet. So when guys say you're so turned on, you're so wet, and you're saying that you weren't even wet.
And guys would always be like, oh, you're so turned on. No, not really.
No, and sometimes we can be wet and not turned on, or we can be really turned on and not wet. So it's actually not an indicator of your arousal.
But it's a mixed message, boys.
It is a mixed message.
Yeah.
Okay, but Kat, here's the thing. I would say for you that I would keep a towel by the bed, because really these are the only things I can tell you, is that it's not a big deal to stop to like wipe it off because you're so wet, like to wipe off his penis, to wipe yourself off, and then to keep going. And also for positions, I would say focus on the positions that are more grinding movements, like the cat, like the coital alignment technique. Do you orgasm during intercourse?
Yes.
Okay.
Almost always.
Do you clitoral orgasm or do you intercourse vaginal?
Vaginal. Which one do you do, Kat?
Both.
Okay.
Oh.
So that's awesome, first of all.
It's funny that the coital alignment technique is Kat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So this is the deal with the Kat. It's a variation of missionary that directly stimulates the clitoris. And you're like, missionary, what? This would be great because you won't feel like you're dripping all over him and really wet.
Yeah.
You're lying back on the bed. And he's lying on top of you like regular missionary position. And with your legs are spread slightly and he's kind of between your knees like in the traditional missionary. And he's supporting himself with his hands. And he'll rest on his forearms, elbows, thighs, upper knees, kind of like distributing his weight like evenly throughout your body. So he's relaxing his muscles. And he should maintain, here's the key part, as much contact with you as is comfortable without like crushing you, right? We don't want him to crush you and we don't want you to lose contact externally or internally. So what he's doing is he's sliding his body towards your head and body, like up and down, right? With like your jaw could be resting on his shoulder and he's like aligning his pelvis with yours, his hips at a downward angle. And so it's like a slow, sensual grinding and not like a pumping. So he's not going in and out and in and out. It's a grinding in circles, grinding back and forth, and it's more of a controlled movement. So you can feel his shaft like rubbing against your clitoris, rubbing against your pubic mound. It's going to be totally inside of you the whole time and you're like rocking together. Does this make sense to you? So you're not going sideways, but you're like rocking up and down. But the whole time, his pubic bone and base of his penis is rubbing against your clitoris.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I actually think I have a partner who's accidentally been doing that because, like, I've always wondered why it wasn't as much of a problem with certain people, and maybe it was just that.
Oh, so this position has worked for you?
I think So, I mean, I wasn't doing it intentionally. Like, right. It wasn't a thing I was conscious of. I just think that I, you know, it was like this particular partner I had, and he was just really great, and I didn't know why.
No, this is it. And I'm telling you, especially for the wetness and for the grinding, and this is also kind of a go-to position that I tell a lot of women who have never had orgasms, that this is actually a great position that works, that we don't actually think about it. So you just kind of repeat this movement like back and forth, you know? And so he's moving up as you go down, and like, it's just, you're grinding together. I think that's going to solve both your problems. We're going to link to it in the show notes as well for everyone listening, but I think this is really going to help you. But if there's other positions that also work for you, there is no shame to the towel game. Have a towel there, wipe off, and then keep going. I'm not going to tell you you should take a pill to stop the wetness. You know, I just that we can just try to do modifications of what you're already doing. And I love that you're having a lot of orgasms. Sure. You can play with toys. A lot of toys are waterproof, which is really fun.
Yeah, so, thank goodness.
Exactly. So, Kat, that's what's going on with you. So,
Godspeed. So awesome.
Let me know what's happening.
Thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye, Kat. Let us know how it goes. Cord alignment technique. Well, you try that one tonight.
I mean, to me, that's like a maneuver that happens in between. Like, it seems to me that that technique is not like something that goes on and on and on. It is something that happens for a stroke or five or three or eight or whatever in between.
For me, that works too. It's like the friction and you're holding together, right?
Yeah.
So, no, it can go on the whole time.
I didn't even know that was a,
I know. Do you have my book?
See? Yes, I have your book.
I gave my book, right?
Oh, yeah. My daughter saw it a couple weeks ago and was like, what's these drawings of these? I was like, I'll take that. Oh. Why are you in my drawer, bitch? Get out of here.
So many kids, they see the book.
God.
Yeah, but it helps. It's a good book.
Yes, yes.
So yeah, that's cool. I love it. Okay.
Yeah.
That was going to change your life.
That was good. That was good.
We've got Carrie. She's 27 from Toronto, and she wants to know how to move from texting to dating. I hear you, girlfriend. What the hell?
Me too.
I'm with my friend Lynette Carolla. You've got two women helping you here today. Carrie, what is going on? Tell me. Talk to me.
All right. So basically, I'm 27 years old. I haven't really had a long-term relationship. I've tried like going out, being with friends, and then now obviously I've been on the dating app. And I've just found that like even if I've met like people kind of through work, they're just so into texting. And it's hard to like, you know, I've asked them to hang out and it's always kind of an avoidance. And I kind of want to get know, like, how do you get from texting to actually hanging out? Because I don't want a texting boyfriend.
I hear you, man. So I absolutely 100% hear you. And you just got to let them know, set boundaries and just be like, you know what? I'd rather have this conversation when I see you next. And just cut it off. But are you saying that on the apps, this is a problem? Or just even when you go out and you meet someone and you go on one date and then you just text every day until you see him again? Or like, what's the main challenge for you?
I think the main would be like before the first date. So like I've had this as like, you know, I met a guy kind of through work, like it was a coworker and we knew each other, but had never been out. And he expressed interest. And then the same thing has happened over dating apps where it's just texting all the time.
Right.
And I've asked them out and it doesn't really, you know, go anywhere, but then they kind of keep this flirty texting.
Yeah, it's annoying. Because like, you know, our life, I swear to God, we're going to be like on our deathbed, be like, well, how was your life? Like, oh, I spent my entire goddamn life texting. And it's really annoying. What I've found lately, though, with the apps and in life, that we kind of make a plan and then it stops. Like, I'm not feeding into it with a lot of texting. And then they kind of respond to that as well. When you meet someone, the sooner you can set a time to meet, the better. Because I think the longer that we draw this out and you're just like, you don't make a plan, like I actually would set a boundary for yourself and just say, you know what? I'm not actually going to text longer than a few lines with somebody until I make a plan or a day with somebody. And you say that, say, let's meet. I'd rather meet than text. Or like, I'm not really into texting. If you want to meet, let's make a plan. And then if they're like, well, I'm not sure, I'm traveling a lot, just say, let's make a plan for when you get back and done. I mean, I think you'll be able to find the people that will respect that. And if there are those people, I think, that actually want to text and they just want to kind of keep you in their loop and they're texting a lot of different women and that's just not who you are. You guys tell them, I'm not down for that. What do you think?
Hi, Carrie. It's Lynette. Like, you know who I am.
Lynette Carolla is amazing. Okay, yeah.
No, so I've been in a relationship for 21 years, but I have two very close friends that are single and they've been out there in the single world. Like, I have Emily at my disposal to ask. It's the same thing. It's like, what do you say to these guys that are like, okay, you text back and forth maybe one or two times. And then as far as a dating app, it's like, okay, then you never hear back from him. Nothing.
Right.
It's ghost.
It's ghost. True. What do you ghost. Do? Like, I what feel do you, like you just like, got to set the boundaries and just you don't let it go on for too long and just say, you know, I'm really busy. I got stuff going on. Let's meet up. And if they just, if you don't hear from them, then you unmatch with them.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I mean, I really think that you just have to take the lead here. And are you saying that you do that and it's not working?
Yeah, like there's been times where I've kind of suggested a meetup and it's kind of, you know, been never happened. So I guess with those guys, you just need to learn to just, you know, onto the next.
Onto the next. I was just going to say that, onto the next. It's like everything in life. The quicker you move on from like a guy who just wants a text or a bad job or a bad relationship or whatever it is, the quicker you're going to be able to make changes in your life and find someone who's right. So I say you're doing nothing wrong here, Carrie. Some women love texting. Not you, not me, not Lynette's friends.
No.
So Carrie, you just set the rules here and you keep going and you'll find the runs.
My girlfriend did find a guy.
There you go.
Yeah.
So will you, Carrie.
It works.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Just don't engage. Okay. Good luck, Carrie. You got this, girl.
Thank you.
Bye. Thanks for calling.
Bye, Lynette.
Bye. Yeah. My girlfriend finally, after 8 years, she was married. She did not want to get a divorce. They had a baby. The husband wanted to have fun. And she didn't. Like, she was married and ready to have a family and kids. And he was like, I'm out. So now she's thrown back into the single scene. And now she's so 4 to 5 years she had to work on herself. Then after that, she had to get back into the single scene. Now here we are 4 to 5 years later. Finally, she met somebody. She's the one holding it up. And she likes the guy. And it is the real. Like,
well, what kind of work did she do on herself?
She worked on how to be alone and being okay with that.
Yeah. Like, you know what? Until you can really be okay with being alone and maybe being lonely and taking the time to figure yourself out, I think you're really not going to find somebody.
No, you're not.
If you go from one to the next, especially after like a heartbreak or divorce.
Yeah.
But any time in life.
Mm-hmm.
Back to the texting thing real quick, though, is that it's just it's a pain in the ass. And I'm on my phone all the time anyway. Literally, it makes me crazy. And
yeah.
I'm just like, can we make a plan? If not, I unmatch you.
Yeah, she has to unmatch. If you can't make a plan, goodbye. She was doing that. And then finally, this one guy was like, can you make a plan? And he was like a baller from New York. Like, she liked this guy.
Good.
He took her by surprise.
Right.
And, you know, and now I don't want to jinx it, but they've been seeing each other for like a month.
Oh, good.
Which is a lot. I know it doesn't sound much, but
no,
for her.
For her, it's
a long time. Yeah.
Hey, you guys, just keep going after what you want. Don't stick in a relationship that
no.
We all know the answers. Trust your gut.
Yes.
Hi, Emily. I'm a new listener and absolutely love your show. I've learned a lot about sex since finding your show, and I'm excited to keep listening. You address a lot of topics I've always wondered about and been too afraid to ask about. I'm a 21-year-old female, and I text for the first time earlier this year. I grew up in a conservative household, and we didn't really talk about sex ever. Our sex ed in school was talking about women's self-confidence and dignity, nothing about actually having sex. I'm not seeing or sleeping with anyone now, but I'm masturbating. However, my lack of experience is frustrating. I have a hard time finding my clitoris when I'm masturbating, with and without a toy, and getting anything other than a meh experience. Do you have any advice for a beginner like me for finding my clitoris or G-spot and getting to an orgasm? Thanks, Molly, 21, Dallas. Well, we already helped her with the G-spot.
I'm Molly, 21, from Dallas. That's me.
For real. It's every woman. It's every woman.
Exactly.
Molly, I was you. I did not have an orgasm until, you know.
We were both you, Molly.
We were both you. We're still
my
you.
My God.
We are one.
It never ends, too.
It never freaking ends. Okay. So let's talk about first what the clitoris is. And I want to address this. I'm sorry that you're getting frustrated a little bit here, Molly, because let me tell you something. Sex education is abysmal. Especially in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
We get nothing at all. And if we do, like, I'm glad that you said that they talked about self-confidence in your school. Because mostly, they try to scare you, and it's, like, fear-based. And you're going to get an STD, and you're going to get pregnant, so just don't have sex.
Absolutely.
So the fact they talked to you about being confident is great. That's, like, ahead of anyone else. But what they didn't tell you about was pleasure and understanding your body and figuring out what makes you feel good. And it sounds like you learned a lot of that from the show, that you know that that's the first step.
You're 1,000% right, by the way. They never point out the pleasure.
Ever.
They only point out, like, what are you going to get? What kind of STD are you going to get? What are you going to pregnant?
Yeah. Except for in the Netherlands. I got to say, it's really interesting if you study sex education over there. Like, they talk about pleasure and they talk about prevention and they talk about STDs. But they say, like, you know what? It's your body. You know, here's what you do. And it's about pleasure and masturbation. Mm-hmm. But here, if you talk about masturbation in schools, like, parents will lose their mind.
Right.
So we don't live that. We live in America. Mm. So let's talk about the clitoris. What is it? So it's an erogenous organ that plays a key role in your sexual response, but it can be so hard to find. Yeah. It's a complex structure. It's different on every woman. We think it's just this little bulb. For some women, it's more retracted. So like it's underneath, buried beneath the clitoral hood, and you actually have to be aroused for it to come out and like say hello. And for some women, it's just out all the time. So you got to just like take a look for it. It's like a little pearl or a pea, like on top of the vagina. A vulva, but again, unless you're aroused, it can be very hard to find. And the internal structure of it is the legs. Did you know about the clitoral legs that are like behind your labia? Like that whole area. So we talked about like the pubic mound and pushing on there.
Right.
Sometimes the labia like tickling like
that whole area.
That feels underneath. So good too. Yeah. Soft touches.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's all the clitoris.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So besides the, you know, internal, external, like I said, there's a clitoral hood, which is kind of like the foreskin. When it's aroused, it retracts and you can find it. And what I would recommend for you, Molly, is to sit in front of a mirror, lie back on your bed. I mean, I so wish I did this at 21.
Me too.
Take like the mirror, take the light from your cell phone or something.
Yeah, see, they're lucky.
And look at it. Like, look at it. Like, your clitoris is at like 12 o'clock, okay? Like, in the opening of the vagina is 6 o'clock. So your clitoris is 12, opening of vagina, 6 o'clock. I think lube is great. Use a little bit of lube. You might not be aroused yet. And start to like stroke the top, like in a circular motion or back and forth, circular, up and down, start teasing yourself and just start like practicing with what really makes you feel good, because we're all really different about what would turn us on. But those moves have proven to be very popular for women. But the other thing is, if you're going in with this mindset that you're frustrated, Molly, and that you've been trying and that you can't believe you haven't found it yet, this is going to do nothing for you. So I'd also like you to take some time and just kind of touch your entire body and think about like things that turn you on. Like, what makes you feel good? Is there any like erotica that you've read, or like a sexual experience, or someone that you fantasize about, or do you even know what your fantasies are? Watch porn. And that will get you in the mindset, because when our mind's on board for sex, like our body will follow. And then you'll be like, oh, that was really hot. And then you'll start to feel like your body like reacting to that. Like you're like, you'll start to feel maybe your clitoris and everything will tense up, but you'll start to like, and then just breathe through your body. So it's not just about touch. It's about like getting everything on board.
Yes, I agree. Can I ask, what Please. About the OM method? Have you heard about that?
I have. I've done it.
I've heard about it on your show.
Right.
And then I've read about it recently. And it's a method where they, whatever, tickle.
They stroke your clitoris for 15 minutes.
It seems so unlike sexy, though.
Right.
The way it happens.
Well, okay.
I get it. It's a good idea, but
I'm down for anyone like focusing on the clitoris and trying to figure out how it works and how what turns you on.
Right.
And the thing about OMing, so it's a method that started, it's called orgasmic meditation, and it started in San Francisco by this woman named Nicole Dedone. God, like maybe when I started 2005, 2004. And they were actually in some of my first shows, because they called them orgasmic monks, and they were all living in a house in San Francisco together. And like the bell would ring every hour and you had to grab your partner. And it was a partnered practice with men and women where the man would literally, she would lay down and he would massage her clitoris in a very, very specific way where they're kind of breaking down the clitoris into regions. Kind of like 12 o'clock, 6 o'clock on your clitoris, though. And I'm like, oh my God, there's like quadrants. It's actually quadrants. Okay. Like there's four quadrants of the clitoris. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm just like, if someone can find the clitoris, you're breaking the quadrants.
Yeah.
But it is true that like the lower, like right hand part of the clitoris is
the
more sensitive.
The valley region. And then,
but it doesn't seem very sexy. And for me, to be honest, it wasn't. It was fun. Like I liked my OMI partner, and he came on my show after talking about massaging my clitoris, and it was a great episode, which we should find somewhere in the archives. But
yeah,
we've been talking about this because I have 8,000 shows. But you're like, well, what's the guy getting from it? What's he going to do? Well, there's actually energy. Like if you believe in like energetic connections between, you know, that he could actually feel her body rising in the arousal. And the focus isn't orgasm for OMing. It's more about getting really turned on. And it's more about like energy flowing and about feeling sort of throughout your body, the whole sensations and energy that you can, that can be, I guess, elicited through touch, the right kind of touch to your clitoris. And that they're like, no, we don't go over, and they mean orgasm, like we just kind of stay in a state of orgasmic bliss 24/7, which I was like, I would move into your house, that sounds fun. But I was super busy at the time, so that's kind of what it is. And a lot of people I know, the couples, they can go, they can train. Like I think that's what you got to do with Adam.
to train him?
I don't know. I mean, yeah. You might get into it. It's kind of mechanical.
Yes.
In a good way?
Yes, I agree. But the other thing is that I have boy-girl twins that are age 11, 12, they're going adorable. On 18.
Yeah.
And what do I do to them who they instant satisfaction? They're going to be able... I would say my daughter more than my son, because my son's he's looking at like basketball, like stats and football and fantasy football. Right. My daughter, though, instant gratification in this new age of pornography, where they can instantly get, they can jack off and come in 2 seconds and be done.
What do you
do? I
want
to be open to them. I want to tell them, like, look, I know what's going on. Okay, I know. I know what's going on. But how do I, like, guide them and tell them?
That is such a good question.
What do I do with that with them?
Well, I think that it really starts with, I mean, I don't know how you stop them from watching porn, to be honest. Like, it's everywhere. They're going to find it. You're not putting, like, what is it, the adult-proofing your computer? What's it called?
Parental
guidance. Yes. I don't know.
But if, Emily, if you had two 11-year-olds, boy girls, what would you do?
Oh, my God. That's a great question. I've been really thinking about this a lot over the years. Because I feel like...
Think about it for me.
I will. No, I am. And I feel like that it starts with talking to them about... It's a very different conversation. And you probably can't talk to them at the same time. And to be honest, you're not going to like this answer. But the conclusion I've come to lately is that I don't think that kids want to hear about sex from their parents.
I know.
They just don't. Like, I don't think it's natural.
Because I'm the... most easiest.
I know. Every
parent
thinks
that. Loveline dad over there. Like,
Loveline dad.
Guys, come on.
Right.
Are you going to talk to Olga or Nanny?
Right.
Like, who are you guys going to talk to?
Honestly, Olga the Nanny, they might listen to more than you because you're the parent. I mean, that's why I've been saying, like, what if there was some kind of, like, this doesn't exist yet, and I'm not going to get to your question, but, like, peer education programs where you're training, like, kids in high school and college to, like, talk to younger kids about sex, because I'm like, Mom, like, no, you have sex.
Yeah,
Dad, I don't want to know. I get it. But they don't get it. And so I feel like I wish that I had a great idea for, like, a great book or a great place to tell you. In fact, people keep snapping me and emailing me and asking me these questions about the best place to go to teach children right now. And Scarlatine is a website that's been around since I started.
Scarlatine.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know if it's still a great site for people to go to. That's what I've often told parents and kids to go to Scarlatine. Also, there's a website that's new called, and I don't know what age it's targeted towards, but OMG Yes.
Yeah, I have that on my computer.
You do?
Yeah, I downloaded it.
I love it. Did you pay the membership?
Yes, I did.
Now, what kind? Okay.
And then I got bored after 2 days.
Well, because the thing about that is I think that's like literally teaches you about your body.
Yeah.
And the clitoris and stroking. I love that you did that.
Yeah.
But, so,
yeah.
For your kids, it's like.
But for an 11-year-old, I mean.
Because they already know. So I think it's like, if you have questions, you can tell. I think that you got to teach your daughter about her body. And I really would tell her about masturbation and about pleasure. And that it's really like what I told my niece when. As soon as she didn't ask, but I knew that there were things going on, I was like, listen, never have sex or don't do anything because you think someone's going to like you more or boys are going to like you. You know what sex is about. Yes, you make babies. It's about procreation, all that stuff. But there's another part of sex that's actually about your pleasure and you being confident in your body and understanding your body, what makes you feel good. And I was like, masturbation. She's like, ew. I'm like, but, you know, it's like, that's like the most important work that you could do is figure out your body, what makes you feel good before. But your kid's 11.
Yeah.
I feel like you are the only one that can talk to him now.
Yes.
We don't have like the troops yet that I would like to train around the world to help kids.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing. We think that we tell people things once, parents, friends, spouses, and they're going to get it. Like, well, I told him last year to touch my clitoris slowly. I told him last year I wanted more oral sex. I told him.
Right.
Think about how long it takes to change behavior. Like anytime you've changed anything in your life, right? You've had to like work at it. You have to hear it. You have to study, listen, write. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't change over time. So if you think you've already had the sex conversation with your kids, I would say the more you bring it up, perhaps, the more comfortable to get that it's like talking about the fact they should stop eating sugar and that they should eat more broccoli or they should, you know, get exercise, why that's important or be nicer to friends. That if sex becomes part of the discussion that you have in your family and Adam's on board and it's natural because it's everywhere right now. So maybe I'm just thinking about like if you guys are like united on it, it's not weird. It's not awkward. It's not uncomfortable. But you're like, no, for real, we're going to keep talking about it. You can run in your room and play fantasy football and you can go talk Snapchat with your friends, your daughter. But we're going to continue to talk about it. Like, I'm going to tell you, like, your body, what feels good. Like, porn is no way to learn about sex. There's nothing wrong with porn. You can, it might get you off, but technically what you're seeing there.
Yeah.
He's nowhere near a clitoris. There's no way she's having a real orgasm. Right. I mean, I almost feel like the more we talk about it, then maybe it just becomes normalized. So that's my new answer.
Thank you.
Because until I can like make some kind of app or solution to train people, I don't.
Do that, please.
Yeah, I will.
Okay.
It's on my list. Hi, Emily. I love your advice. I'm a young professional physician and I make a very good living salary-wise. I'm recently back in the dating pool after a two-year relationship went south. On first dates, I'm finding that guys are bringing up the "what do you do" question somewhat innocently. However, when they find out what I do, she's a doctor, their eyes get wide and it leads something like, "you got the check, right?" or something rude. I rarely get second dates and then I find out I'm intimidating. I don't want to end up single at 40, but it's so frustrating. I also don't want to end up a sugar mama. How do I weed out these losers and find a real guy? I'm new in town, so I can't really lean on my friends for quality men. Thank you, Nina, 28, Naples, Florida. Wow, Naples has been hit, though.
I was just going
to
say.
I know. I hope you're starting to recover right now, post-hurricane. And this might even change your dating experience, because volunteering could be a good way to bring the community together now.
And what's wrong with being a sugar mama?
Well, she doesn't. A guy doesn't want to be a sugar daddy. I mean, some do.
Okay.
But she doesn't.
I wouldn't mind. All right. I mean, yeah.
Right, but that's where we're at now. Now I'm like,
yeah,
I don't know. I'm different than I was at 28.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
So
that's a good question.
That guy who made that comment is an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Because if a guy said to me, "well, you get the check." Well, maybe again, some women, I never talk like that on my show, but I don't typically criticize people in that way. But to me, that's douchey.
It's okay.
But have you figured out, I'm curious, Nina, like what you really, really want in a man, and from not only from a man, but what do you want from a relationship? So here's the interesting paradigm right now. And this is the other thing to be talking to your kids about, mm-hmm. is that it's not the way it was when we grew up, that we don't, like, men and women are equal and we don't need a man to like take care of us and support us and pay our rent and do all these things. It's more like we want to like have kids perhaps, or we want someone that we love and hang out with and we like doing some of the same things or whatever it is. I don't have the answer for you, Nina, but I think it'd be interesting to think about, how would a man enhance my life right now? How would a relationship change where I'm at in my life right now and make it better? And when you think of it that way, like you really close your eyes, you're like, what does the perfect relationship look like? Like, where am I living? What am I doing? What are he and I doing together? That might change the way you act on a date. Because what I'm thinking is, it's true, like maybe guys are intimidated. You're a doctor. Doctors can be intimidating across the board, right? I mean, that's true. Right. And I understand that, like a doctor, just in any way, you're like, oh, you're a doctor. Like that mm-hmm. happens, right? Mm-hmm. So I get that. You're a doctor. So I understand that. But also, I feel like we all want to feel needed. And if you might be presenting yourself in ways, if you actually have been told that you're intimidating, that leaves a guy thinking, I'm not really sure where you need me right now. Like, I'm not really sure how I would enhance your life, because you've got a job, you pay your rent, you're beautiful, you're smart. And even though things have changed and men and women are very different, we still all want to feel needed and play a role. So maybe there's a way of just, I don't know.
Well, I mean, that's a good, definitely a good point to bring up and definitely a good conversation to have, especially if you have kids, because I have a daughter who I want to be strong and I don't want her to have to rely on dudes or whatever. But then there's a fine line, because I don't want her to like
be alone,
you know,
like me in her 40s. I get it. No, it was by choice. I get it. I'm just okay.
I wouldn't mind to be in your position, right?
I love my life. But
yeah. But like,
I get it. How do you be soft? How do you
daughter?
Still-
yeah. And then I have a boy at the same age who I don't want him to feel, you know, like he's got, what's the word? Emasculated.
Yeah.
So
it's interesting, the masculine and feminine. I mean, that's like it's a really interesting conversation about how men mm-hmm. can really live in their masculine.
Yes.
Women can live in their feminine and like who they really are and then still come together and feel like they need each other.
Right. So kids are going to have to learn at this generation, as far as I'm concerned, is my kids' generation, they're gonna have to learn how to get along and how to be able to be in their own worlds and come together.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of good info. I did a great show a few months ago with John Wineland that people loved, and we talked a lot about the masculine and feminine, and that I think a lot of people really felt mm-hmm. enlightened. But it's true. It's like, it's harder to explain maybe to your kids at 11, but in general, I think that women being in their bodies and being in their feminine, no matter mm-hmm. how strong you are, Nina, and tough, and you're a doctor, and I'm not saying you're tough, but you're like taking care of things and you're working really hard, you've got a medical school, how much are you like in your body and like in touch with like who you are, Nina, and what makes you feel good? Like taking dance class or taking movement or meditation or like just like being connected. I feel like a lot of us live in our heads. I'm speaking for myself. In many ways, I am very like masculine and they're like, I have a company, I have a business. I've been all about like making it and supporting myself, and that there could be a part that maybe isn't as feminine, even though I'm sitting here talking about sex all day long. I had to learn to like slow things down on dates and not be like I'm trying to prove myself or whatever it is. None of this is conscious, but just even being conscious of how I move in the world and my body and slowing things down and being in my feminine.
Yeah.
My goddess energy, if you will. So that's a whole nother practice.
Yeah.
But it's really important.
Well, I mean, maybe it's something for parents to think about how to you know, train their kids to start thinking.
Yeah.
Because one thing I'm struggling with, and this has nothing to do with sex,
fine,
in a nutshell, is my kids are no academics. They're not, they're bright, but they're not going to go to a four-year college. This whole thing of going to school for 4 years, getting your master's degree or getting your bachelor's degree, and then going in and getting a job and getting your 401k and then retiring at 55. To me, that's kind of out the window. This whole world is changing. And for me to not be able to teach my kids how to learn about the technology industry and learn how to maybe even invest, take that money that I save for them to go to college and take that money and invest in like 10 to 15 startups.
Yeah.
And not only just invest and walk away.
No, but I get it. Those are skills that we should be teaching skills, in schools. How to life skills.
It's all about it. It's a different world now.
It is a different world. Well, you and Adam, I mean, world. I feel like you guys are entrepreneurs and you start a business. Like, how great. Like, they're so lucky to have you as parents because you get to decide how you want to raise them and what kind of values you want to enforce. And I wish that I knew about money and stuff like that, how to balance checkbook. Well, or not a balance checkbook anymore, but whatever it is, I didn't know any of that shit.
Yes.
And I had to learn it the hard way by like going through really rough stuff and then being like, oh, I don't know about money, you know?
Yeah, so we have that side. Can you just come in and teach them how to be?
Yeah, I will. Like, I got to tell you, there's two things that I'm really uber passionate about right now. And one of them really is education and kids and helping like college students and young kids, like, because we're so undereducated in that area and it's never been done right. And so I take that as like a huge personal challenge and mission that if I could help parents and kids to kind of understand sex. Obviously, I don't know how I would do it. You know, would I raise money? Like, is it an app? Is it programs where I'm actually teaching them? I think it's really, really important. And then the other thing that I'm just super passionate about is just sort of, I feel like a lot of us are sort of in our heads, attached to our phones, myself included, you guys. That's why I can never do anything that I'm not super passionate about. And I want to help myself, but we're disconnected from our bodies. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people who call into the show or email and having problems and they're not thinking about, they're just like getting off really quickly online, they're jacking off and they have their orgasm and then they're like ordering pizza. We're so not connected to our bodies. Mm-hmm. And that sounds very like, because we're so fat, we're doing all these other things, but the more that you stop and you breathe into your body and you learn to like connect again, like I think we're just like dead. It's like neck up.
Yeah.
Like we're in our brains and then there's our bodies happening. And for a lot of women that I hear from, they're like, I don't feel anything, or I don't feel aroused, I don't feel turned on. It's because you're not connected. Mm-hmm. So breathe into that area and feel it. And so if I could find a way to connect everything that I'm doing, like the mind-body connection with sex in a way that isn't too like woo-woo, and people are like, oh, do I gotta go buy some crystals? And
no, I agree.
So that's kind of where I'm at.
All right.
It's exhausting, okay. But I really want to help everyone.
Let's help them out.
Okay. Well, okay. That's what's going on. How can everyone find you, Lynette?
You can find me at Lynette Carolla at LynetteCarolla at Twitter, Facebook. I'm at Lynette Carolla at all across the board. And
For Crying Out Loud.
And For Crying Out Loud. And Sword and Scale Rewind. And
Mangria.
Yes, Mangria.
Corolla Drinks. Corolla Drinks. Which are delish.
Yeah, IPA, beer, which is out now.
I want your beer.
I have beer. I brought it for you.
Oh, my God. Okay, so we're going to put all that on our website as well. But follow Lynette. She's awesome and beautiful and smart and hot. Check out our videos from the show because it was awesome. Thank you so much for being here.
I had
a blast. And thank you to all my listeners. Thank you to my amazing team, Ken, Jamie, intern Shannon, producer Lark, and Michael. You guys are all awesome. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Follow me everywhere, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. It's all @sexwithemily. And was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.